are back live, hour number two, right here on 670 The Score, booming out 50,000 watts of Bears opinions from the greatest fans in the National Football League, the Chicago Bears. So if you're calling from Chicago or the Burbs or the Midwest or the Eastern Seaboard or up north in Canada, welcome to our program. We are talking Bears football, a very disappointing and really a horrible loss on Sunday in Indianapolis, losing to the Colts. And we are going to go back to the phone lines at 312-644-6767 as Caleb Williams, who set a franchise record for passing in a single game by a rookie quarterback with 363. And Caleb Williams, the franchise, that's what I'm calling him. I believe in Caleb Williams, and the issue is not Caleb Williams. The issue is with this coaching staff, and they got to clean up the offensive line, and they may not be able to do that because schematically they're going to have to fix some things, but they have to wait until the offseason unless they pick up somebody out of nowhere at the trade deadline. But bottom line is that Caleb Williams is a prime-time, big-time star. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Benny from Louisville. How you doing, Benny?
Doing good, Chuck. Pleasure to talk to you. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
So, this offensive line is just, it's atrocious. It's the worst I've seen it in quite a while. Braxton Jones is in year three. He's looking like Jamarcus Webb out there. Darnell Wright is showing no improvement. The interior line is just, Nate Davis needs to find a first plane out of Chicago. Get rid of him. Also, the only offensive coach retained last year was the offensive line coach, who is now also the run game coordinator. How does he still have a job?
Yeah. Well, again, you raised an excellent point or two, and I'm telling you that I think there is some evaluation going on, and that's why I think this game with the Rams is critical, absolutely critical. I'm going to ask Tyler Farrell. Tyler, do you have a look? I do this show. I don't have stats in front of me. I don't have anything other than my producer, Tyler Farrell. And hold on for a second. Tyler, when is the bye week for the Bears? Is it after the Rams game or after Jacksonville?
So it is after the Jacksonville game in London. So they'll play three more games, have that bye week. I believe it's October 20th. Is that Sunday?
So they've got the Rams, and then they got, is it Rams, Panthers, Jags, or Rams, Jags, Panthers?
No, you are correct. Rams at home, Panthers at home, Jaguars in London, then bye week.
Okay, they should beat those three teams. Jacksonville will be tougher, but they should beat the Rams definitely, even though Carolina won today with Andy Dalton. But their talent level isn't very good because the owner really in Carolina runs everything, and they're a mess. So, but you've got three winnable games. If the Bears somehow, some way get on track here, they're going to go to what? They are going to 4-2 into the bye week. But if they go into the bye week struggling, they lose two of the next three games, then I think you're going to see probably a change or two. That's just my opinion. I don't know. But as a fan, one has to suspect that could be a possibility, because in a bye week then you get a chance to regroup. But again, the schedule, the first half schedule for the Bears is very inviting, and that's why this loss to the Colts hurts. This is a bad loss, and you're going to get some of those during the NFL season, but the way the Colts played with Richardson at quarterback, and with the run defense next to last in the National Football League, and you can't run the football, that's an indictment on your line. But there you go. So thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Kathy from Park Forest. Kathy, how you doing?
Oh, fine. How about yourself?
Ah, Kathy, we missed you.
You missed me. That makes me feel good.
Okay, so what's on your mind, Kathy?
I'm glad to hear that you're a man of your word. You're buying your donuts.
I am buying donuts for the 670 staff. This morning, it's 1:05 in the morning, and I will buy donuts. You can book it.
Okay, I'm not trying to be really mean about this whole situation, but you're kind of right Because look, in the preseason,
I'm sorry. What did you say there, Kathy?
I'm just saying
that I was kind of right.
You're kind of right. It goes to the management. It goes to the guys like that. Because think about it. Why didn't this guy play any preseason game?
Well,
this could have been fixed by the time it got to the regular season.
Yeah, but listen, you know what? You can't put your quarterback in jeopardy in preseason ball. If he got hurt, you know, he would be, the Bears would be second guessed. What are you playing your primetime quarterback? He got hurt in a preseason game. You know, if he gets reps in practice, which is much different than an NFL game, and even the speed of the game, the tempo of the game, everything is much different in an NFL game than practice. I do agree with you. But I don't have a problem the way the Bears used him in preseason ball. I really don't.
He didn't play.
He did play.
He did not play any preseason. They said they
Caleb
kept
Williams?
Him out of preseason.
Caleb Williams did play in preseason.
What game did he play? Because I watched all of them.
Okay, well, let's see. He played. He played in the second game. He didn't play against. He didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. I believe he played in the second game, and then I want to say he did play. I think he played in two games, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm gonna have to look that up. I'll look it up.
Okay, do that, Kathy.
I got another question for you.
Yes.
Now you made me lose track.
Okay. I've got to run here, though, but
okay,
I appreciate
right,
the call. Thank you. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Don from Rockford. Don, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Don.
So watching the game today, you know, as bad as it looked, I thought that Caleb got a lot of experience, you know. We don't want him to throw 50 times a game, but he actually, you know, got a lot of more experience than maybe he would have if, you know, the running game was good. So I think it'll prove to be good for him going forward, even though the game was crap, you know?
Well, you always look for somehow, some way, even a loss, you have to pick out some positive things to build on. Everyone does that in any sports, and for that matter, even in the workplace. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect workplace, but you take some positives and you build it so you have some type of harmony when you come into work. The same applies in sports. So you want to make sure that this thing doesn't go south early, and you want to stay positive. You want to keep encouraging. You want to take little things here and there and build on it. And in this case, for Caleb Williams, he is getting better. I'm not saying he's a finished product. We may not see a finished product this year from Caleb Williams. It may take him 2 years, 3 years, but we are seeing improvement. We saw improvement last week. We saw today or yesterday, Sunday, improvement from the game before. And that is what you're hoping to build on. And that's why I'm encouraged.
We have a lot to look forward to.
Yes.
I think we have a lot to look forward to.
I mean, I'm getting killed on Twitter. I'm getting killed on the text. I'm a big boy. I can take it because people think I'm too pro Caleb Williams. Well, guess what? You are right. I am pro Caleb Williams. I love this kid. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I mean, I have no agenda. I'm transparent. I tell you what I think. I question the offensive coordinator. I think Eberflus needs to sit him down and get him on track here. The Bears' offense has no identity. You can't have a quarterback throw over 50 passes in a ball game. And it was really just as a frustrated fan to watch what transpired today with the play calling. I'm not into it. All right, let's go to Mike from Wrigleyville. Mike, you're on 670 The Score. Welcome.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate you hosting the show tonight, staying up with us.
Well, I mean, it's my pleasure. So what did you take out of Sunday's game?
Well, it was obviously a very disappointing loss for a game. Like you said, they should have won, but Caleb Williams is the least of my concerns with the Bears. You know, when Justin Fields was here early on in his career, he seemed to me like he was afraid to make mistakes. I am fine with Caleb Williams making mistakes like the interceptions, the fumble, but he has shown progress. And I'm not worried about him all, but what I am worried about is the coaching, the play calling, and the running game and the offensive line. The offensive line is just, it's so bad. If they don't have a running game, I don't see how the Bears are going to win a lot of games. I mean, I'm very bullish still on Caleb Williams for sure, long term. But right now, Bears don't look good.
No, they do not. They absolutely do not. The defense, I love the defense. I love the tenacity of the defense. And I think on the offensive side of the ball, I think it really needs to be addressed. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Let's see. What else is going on in sports? The White Sox, they lost their 120th game. Is that right?
MLB tying record, 120th loss. Wow. Yesterday against the San Diego Padres.
And meantime, the Cubs, they blanked the Nationals. Imanaga, this kid had a great year. What's his record, like 15-3?
15-3.
You know how many walks he had? Like he had, how many starts, like 27, 28, 29, somewhere in the high 20s. He only walked like less than 30 batters.
That's, about one, if that. Maybe zero a game. Very, very. The Cubs, what they're paying for him this year, they're getting way more than the money.
Absolutely. But I still think it was a disappointing year for the Cubs. 100%. I'm just throwing that out. We're going to get to the Bears conversation. I just want to get this out because everyone's saying, no. Everyone, the analytics picked the Cubs to win 82 games. I don't care. The Cubs just couldn't sustain it. They couldn't hit at times. You know, don't get me started. All right, 312-644-6767. Who do we go to next? Let's go to Chris from Quad Cities. Chris, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck, what's up? Thanks for having me on.
All right, Chris, what's going on?
So a couple things I want to talk about. So really, one of the main glaring things is terrible clock management. How many times, like in these past, going into like this year and even going into last year, are we seeing these decisions where we're wasting timeouts?
Yep.
Like today, where they didn't even have a plan ready for when they hit the touchdown. You think that the coaching staff would have been talking, okay, we're going to go for two, we're going to go for one.
Exactly.
How can you
not think ahead? The moment that was a touchdown, don't you think they're saying immediately, two, we're going for two, we're going for two? To me, that's a no-brainer. And then Eberflus, Tyler, do we have that actuality from Eberflus talking about what happened, why he had to burn a timeout, and he's going for with two or one? And, this is the head coach of the Bears. And after the game, he's meeting with reporters, and he's talking about what's going on. So let's go to the head coach of the Bears on that situation.
We have to be better. We have to be better there. First of all, it wasn't as good as it should be in terms of our communication there. But we wanted to get a good play on there as well. And we like to play. It just didn't work out on that particular one. But again, we have to be better. Stay ahead of it better. Be better there.
Okay, so he had to clean that up because he's not going to throw guys on his staff under the bus. And I respect that. You just can't do it publicly. And you know that and I know that, right? But all I'm saying is that, but not to have something in place, where you're on the headset and everyone is listening on the headset upstairs and on the field saying, hey, guys, here's what we're doing. If we score, we're going for two. Everyone on the same page, we're going for two if we score. Period. End of story. And the line we get is we have to be better. And it's little things like that. You burn a timeout, and it comes back to kill you. You can't let that go. You have two chances to score from inside the one-yard line, and you elect to go on an option read on fourth down? Are you kidding me?
terrible.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Is it Brandon from Morton Grove? Brandon, welcome. 670 The Score.
Morning, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
And staying up late with us tonight, man. Have you decided where you're going to go for the donuts yet?
You know what? I you know, Tyler, how many employees does the Score have in the morning? And then I'm talking about I'm just not talking about the on-air staff. I'm talking about the men and women who work at the Score. How many employees are there?
Well, obviously, there's the four people who are here for the morning show. We got Mitch. We got Ryan. We got usually either Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka in studio. So I would say around 7 to 10 people are here. I'm never here this early in the morning usually, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, but you have other employees, the sales department and the business side.
You're stumping me with that one. Outside of this little circle here, that is out of my knowledge.
Okay, well, so I will buy donuts because last week on this very radio station where I was anchoring midnight to 5 a.m., I said if the Bears lose to the Colts, I'm going to send donuts to the staff here. And so I'm going to do it. As soon as I get off the air at 5 o'clock, I'm going to find a place. Maybe it'll be Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe it'll be Do Right Donuts, Stan's Donuts, whatever. The closest to the station, I'm buying donuts. So there you go. 312-644-6767. Let's go to John from Orland Park. John, how you doing?
Good, Chuck. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I was going to make a point. I mean, I've been watching football for probably better part of about 40 years, and this is the first time I've never seen a Bears team actually stick with the run game. I mean, at least give one guy 10 to 15 touches a game. I mean, I know they got that three-headed monster there with the three running backs. I mean, one of them's going to have to – you're going to have to give them a little bit of work to let them get going. I mean, you have to take a few lumps along the way, but, I mean, it's like they abandoned the run game altogether. I don't know if that was by design or if maybe Caleb was calling audibles. Just wondering what you think.
Well, let's see. Johnson, 8 carries for 30 yards. Swift, 13 carries, 20 yards. I'll tell you what. They gave Swift a boatload of money to come in here. And
yeah, I agree.
And I mean 13 carries, 20 yards. And again, is it the running back or is it the line or is it the scheme?
We know the line for sure, but
yes.
the scheme could be part of that too. Who knows?
Khalil Herbert, 4 carries, 9 yards. Williams with 1 carry, 8 yards. It's not happening. You can't allow that. You know how many plays the Bears ran today? You ready for this? Guess how many plays the Bears ran today? You want to take a ballpark guess?
I'm gonna take a guess at like 73.
84.
Wow.
84 is a ton. A ton.
Right.
And what was the final score?
Yeah, they didn't lose by much.
Well, no, I mean, you can't score. You run 84 plays and you score 16 points? I don't get it. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom from Forest Park. Tom, how you doing?
I'm fine, Chuck, and you're right. Mitch is not paying you enough to endure the torment tonight. But nevertheless, you know, when you said that number of 84 plays, see, I can understand why Eberflus is comfortable and looking well comfortable because he was seeing what we wasn't seeing up there in Lake Forest. He was seeing a quarterback of the future. But the problem is, our general manager who came in as an aficionado of the offensive line, because he's supposedly from that tree from Kansas City, and he understands what supposedly is going on out there on that offensive line. Our defense is giving our offense a chance. You don't get 84 plays with no defense. And our special teams is doing their jobs and putting them in a position for 84 plays. That offensive line can't bust a great, Chuck, and there's something wrong with that. And those running backs, they can't run through a wall while a wall is being pushed back at them. That's a problem. And if we straighten that out, I think we can even up the throws versus the runs. But until we get that line in position, think about this one, Chuck. The only time Mahomes didn't win a championship is when his offensive line was a problem. Think about that one.
Well, everything you're saying, I totally agree with you, Thomas. I can't argue one point you made. And everything again, and I made the illustration a couple of weeks ago, and I've been in Chicago a very, very long time. And when I first came to Chicago in 1979, long time ago, 45 years ago, I went into the office of Jim Finks, rest his soul. I love Jim Finks, the general manager then of the Chicago Bears under Papa Bear. And so we sat down and we're talking about how you've got to have a quarterback in the NFL. Jim had made a trade with Cleveland to pick up Mike Phipps, who was a better than average quarterback, nothing great, but a serviceable quarterback. You know, he had Bob Avellini, he had Vince Evans, who he was very high on, but he said, here's the story. You've got to have offensive linemen. You are not going to win in the NFL without a great offensive line, because at the end of the day, you have to run the football. You have the football. And we can talk about the new age NFL. I mean, here, Caleb threw over 50 passes today. I mean, and you've got all these quarterbacks just putting up incredible numbers because the game's changed, and it's changed at the junior high level, high school, college, spread offense, the Wildcat, you name it. They've got systems beyond belief that I saw in the 60s and 70s growing up. But let me tell you something. You are not going to win without an offensive line, and that's why they have got to get it together here, and the play calling as well. I mean, the play calling, the dysfunction of not, being on the same page, having to burn a timeout after late in the game after scoring a touchdown, that should be a given. Mm-hmm. And who runs an option at fourth and a foot when you're trying? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, just ram it down their throats.
Right. Chuck, am I still on?
Yes.
Chuck, I'm telling you, you look at some of the top teams. Them Georgia Bulldogs, they're not where they're at without offensive line. Alabama is not where they're at with offensive line. And thank goodness Illinois got an offensive line this year. That's why they beat Nebraska last weekend. I'm telling you, we need an offensive line. And Poles was brought in here specifically for that reason. And that's why George brought him in. When George lifted that luggage off the carriage there at the airport, it was the ideal that we got a guy that understands we need an offensive line. Now, granted, he's not listening to the fans, but I'm hope he's looking at the tape, and the tape don't lie.
No, it does not.
He's got to beef up that line.
All right, Thomas.
He's got to beef up that line, and he knows it. So
all right.
We'll see what happens.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, well, listen, we are going to go until 5 o'clock. We'll take your calls. We're going to hear some tape. We'll do all that at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You're listening to a Plumber's 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Coming up at 7 o'clock in the morning, Ole Kreutz with Mully and Haw, DJ Moore with Mully and Haw at 8. Brad Biggs with Mully and Haw at 9. You got Anthony Heron with Bernstein and Holmes at 11. You got Tiki Barber with Bernstein and Holmes at noon. Dan Wheater with Bernstein and Holmes at 1. You got Kurt Warner with Spiegs at 3. Jalen Johnson with Spiegs at 4. TJ Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes Tuesday at noon. This is Chuck Swirsky, always a pleasure. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We love our calls. You can send me a text. 312-644-6767, following the Bears' loss at Indianapolis and a lousy ball game for the Bears, 21-16. And we are back live in the great city of Chicago. It's 1:30 in the morning. Chuck Swirsky with you until 5 a.m. We're talking Bears. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. The Colts Sunday afternoon at Indianapolis beat the Bears 21-16. A ton of Bears fans showing once again why the Bears are the Bears. The Bears brand, the best in the National Football League, even if we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, one of the most overrated football teams in the NFL. Ravens went in and beat the Cowboys 28-25. Again, Caleb Williams, my guy. He is my guy, 33 of 52 for 363. Couple of touchdowns, two interceptions. But look, these stats, it's incredible. Let's see. Kmet, 10 receptions, 97 yards. Moore, 8 receptions, 78 yards. Odunze, 6 receptions, 112 yards, and 1 touchdown. Remember, you got Keenan Allen. He's not playing. He's hurt with that heel. He hasn't played. So, again, you know, bottom line is the Bears, but I don't want to see the quarterback throw 52 times. Sorry. And you're probably saying, Chuck, what about the running game? What's happened? How about this? The Bears rushed the football 63 yards. 63 yards on 28 carries. 28 carries, 63 yards. I am very upset. I am mad. I am very, very upset and very
frustrated. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
That's right. So, Tyler, help me out here. 28 carries, 63 yards. That's an average of just over what? Two yards?
Just over two a carry.
I mean, come on. You can't win a football game that way.
No. And I heard a previous caller talk about Caleb Williams throwing the ball a lot. It's not a recipe to win, but it helps for experience. And I do agree with that. But I've always been under the impression that throwing the ball over 50 times in a game is not a recipe to win. And I think the main thing that it does show, Chuck, back to your point, is the lack slash trust in your run game. And my dad has always been telling me, you know, we see quarterbacks throwing for more and more yards now in the modern NFL, but he's always told me, if you can't run the football, you're not going to have a good success or a recipe to win.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Again, Caleb Williams sets a franchise record passing yards in a single game, 363. Trubisky threw for 314 in December of 2017. 312-644-6767. Oh, by the way, Williams, with his first 300-yard game, he tied Justin Fields, who threw a 300-yard passing game. And Fields, by the way, played 43 career NFL games. And we are not comparing the two because there's no comparison. I wish Justin Fields all the best, but he's now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. End of story. And I will take Caleb Williams. And I hope Justin Fields has a magnificent career. But we're talking Bears 2024. We're not talking about 23. We're not talking about 22. We're not talking about 21. We're talking about 24. And the Bears have some work to do on the offensive line. And also just trying to get it together here so everyone's on the same page. Joe from Cicero, you're on 670 The Score.
Chuck,
yes.
It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Yes, look, sir.
We all need a tap on the brakes here. This is a rookie team, whole new regime. Just tap the brakes. Let's see what the record is at the bye.
Well, okay, and I agree with you. I am giving this football team to the bye, but I'm telling you right now, if the Bears lose at home to the Rams, I'm going to be really ticked off. And I think the Bears should win. They're favored by 2.5. But I thought the Bears are going to beat the Colts.
I get it. And I mean,
if you
won.
Think fans are upset now, if they lose at home to the Rams, I mean, the fans at Soldier Field are going to go crazy.
Well, yeah, they're going to go crazy, but you have to tap the brakes a little bit.
Well, yeah, but it's how you're losing. It is how you're losing. It's the play calling. It's how you're losing on timeouts.
And you know what? I almost wish we had Getsy back.
No. But I want to see more out of this offensive coordinator.
We just need to get it right. Just tap the brakes. Give it a chance.
Yep, Joe, I hear where you're coming from, trying to pump the brakes. I'm trying to pump the brakes on that, but I'm just telling you right now, I think this game coming up Sunday against the Rams, is that a noon kick? Tyler, do you know that? Is it noon? Okay, it's a noon kick, so I'll be in front of my TV, and I'll be digging it and all that stuff, but I'm telling you right now, if the Bears lose that game and they go to 1-3, they have got a schedule coming up the second half of the season that is unbelievable. And that's why they needed this game Sunday. They have got to get these games coming up against the Rams and the Panthers and the Jaguars. Those are three dubs in the bag to get ready for your divisional foes. I mean, Minnesota is unbeaten at 3-0. The Lions are the Lions, and the Packers are the Packers. This is a tough division, the NFC North. You've got to win these games coming up. Let's go to Phil from Mount Prospect. Phil, you're on 670 The Score.
Hello, Chuck. I agree with you. I think Caleb Williams has gotten better each game. I think the run game is just a problem right now. You get 63 yards against a team that gave up 500 yards rushing.
Yep.
The first two games. As you alluded to, these next six games are very winnable. The last eight are six games in the division plus the 49ers and the Seahawks. So if they don't win at least four or five of these next six games, we're going to have a real tough go these last eight games of the season. And you look at the rest of the division. Green Bay beat the Titans by 16 today. The Vikings won by 27 over Houston, who gave us trouble last week. We don't match up well against the rest of the division right now. And if this run game doesn't improve, I had them going 9-8 this year. We might be hard pressed to win nine games if this doesn't get rectified real soon.
Yeah. Well, again, you know what? I'm willing to give this team an opportunity to get it together in the next three games. I mean, if they go 2-1, I can live with that. I'd prefer 3-0, obviously. I can live 2-1. I cannot live with 1-2. Sorry. Not going there. So I thank you for the call. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. So you got the Rams on Sunday the 29th. You've got Carolina at home on Sunday, October the 6th, also at noon. You got Jacksonville on Sunday, October the 13th, and that game is in London. That's an 8:30 a.m. kickoff time, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday, October the 13th. Those are three winnable games, very much so. So then you get the bye week, and then you're on the road at Washington and at Arizona. And then you come home for New England, bad football team. You come home with Green Bay, always a tough game. You're home with Minnesota, that'll be a tough game. At Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota, home with Detroit, home with Seattle. Not sure what type of Seattle ball club we're going to look at December 26th. And then January the 5th at Green Bay. So that's why the next three games, and really this game, the game they lost to Indianapolis, was just bad, very bad in the way they lost. Not good. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Tyler, do we have the Caleb Williams press conference? Can we play that right now? Then we'll go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Awesome. I'm well. Definitely
Definitely feeling the loss. It sucks every single time. You know, taking a loss, it never gets easier, never gets better. You know, to say that, I still am proud of my guys. Proud of the steps that we've taken so far. You know, the things we did today compared to last week and the week before, the steps we were taking. You know, super excited about this future of the offense, the team, the defense, special teams. Obviously, you know, defense is playing lights out. You know, obviously, they don't want points being up on the board, but to have, I mean, I think it was two interceptions or so. You know, to have two interceptions on their side is all we need for offense, you know, to get those extra drives. And, you know, like I said, they're playing lights out. So, you know, those guys deserve the win. They work hard each week to go out and do what they do. They do it well. And we're going to get better offensively. We're going to be better. And the special teams wise, obviously, you know, we got to, you know, a couple different, you know, plays and punts and things like that that, you know, did well for us. A couple of different returns, you know, but as an offense, as a team, definitely excited and definitely proud of guys.
On the strip sack at the end, what did you feel, what did you see going through?
Yeah, so I was, when I got to the top of the drop, I definitely felt, I think it was Latu. Right. Latu coming around the edge. So I tried to step up, you know, small movements, nothing huge. Because I also, you know, saw Rome about to pop behind the backer. I think they were I think they either were cover two on that right side or doubling DJ. And so I came off of that backer, started to move out with my eyes about to throw it to Rome. And then right there, strip sack.
On the fourth and goal option play. To Swift, what did you see pre-snap in terms of the look they gave you, and then what did they do to blow that up?
Yeah, so that was a tough one, being right there on the inch yard line, or so 1 yard line, and to not get that. So, you know, seeing it, things like that, is a play we practice all week. You know, understanding that, you know, they, you know, when they get around the 5 yard line to 1 yard line, you know, their defense changes, and they get into those. 6-1 defense and things like that, you know, they normally, you know, crash and things like that, and you know, I guess maybe I didn't get on the edge fast enough or whatever case may have been, but they didn't crash you know, how they normally do or how we saw them film, and you know, they made a good play, had an extra overhang player over there, and it may have been, you know, because of the pistol or whatever case may have been.
Did you have the option to change the play at the line of scrimmage there, and wish you would have?
On that play, we have the option to change the play right there. Clock was running down. In those moments, you don't really want, you don't necessarily want to get the flag. Got out the huddle, I believe, with around 10 seconds. And so I didn't want to get up there and, you know, alert the player, change the play and things like that, have it around 5 or so or whenever when everybody got set. You know, at that point, you got to call and run it and get going.
If there had been more time, based on the look you saw, do you think you
could? I could have changed it, yes.
On the interception when you're going to DeAndre, Matt said kind of a rhythm throw. What did you kind of see there in terms of the corner where he was at?
DeAndre
Carter on the third down after the big
play. So I was out of rhythm of the route. They covered up the curl. Cole went to the opposite hash and sat, and then we had a flat. Just a, you know, routine play. Corner made a great break on the ball. I didn't get all of my power into the throw, so that's why I was a little bit loftier than you know, some of the usual passes when you're throwing something like that. I got a little pushback and tried to get it to him. Thought the DB was a little too far off, and like I said, made a great break on the ball. Can't have those.
Do you feel like you're any closer to an offensive identity at this point, or do you?
Yeah, I do actually. You know, I got our first two passing touchdowns of the year, you know, obviously, which is feels good, exciting to get that going finally in the second half of this, you know, this game. So having the offense, identity is, I think it is brewing. I think it is a lot closer than, you know, it was the week before or weeks before. And I think us figuring that out is going to get this thing going. I think we're right there. It's you know, on all the plays, we were just simply, you know, one small detail or and that, I mean, that's myself included on some of these, you know, some of these plays that happened today. But we're one small detail, you know, a lot of these plays that, like I've said in many other interviews, that, you know, these small details always add up to be something bigger.
What enabled you to get Rome going today?
Yeah, so I mean, I think watching film, going through practices and things like that, I've told Rome that I'm going to give him the ball some more. The routes he run, the trust and belief that I have in him, you know, that's why I threw that ball to him. That ended up being a pick, which, you know, I told him I'll come back to him and things like that. But, you know, that pick, the defender's back was turned, and it's always, you know, one of those rules that as a QB offense, you know, when a defender's back is turned to one of your guys, you give him a chance because obviously he's not looking at the ball. You know, a corner made a good break on the ball once it was tipped. He had his eyes back and then, you know, things like that. So, you know, some of the practice reps, some of the after practice reps that Rome and I have been getting these past couple weeks, I think it pays off and we're going to keep doing it, you know, because we want to obviously build that connection and have that trust and belief in each other.
Follow up to that, the 47-yarder to Odunze, he yep. said that it felt just like the preseason
yep.
play. Did it feel like that to you as well, and what did you see?
Yeah, I didn't have to roll out on that one, but, yeah, it definitely felt like that. We've been working on, you know, some of our different routes and things like that, you know, throughout these weeks. Every day we get about 10 to 15 passes with each other after practice. And so, you know, certain passes like that, and a lot of times, the deep downfield balls are, you know, the more, you know, rhythm routes that you have to, you know, try and keep your receiver in stride and things like that. He had a great route. Made a great catch, and you know, gave us a chance.
After the touchdown to Rome, there, you and you know, Rome had the celebration run off the field. But are you thinking you're going for two in that spot? Kind of, what's your mindset in terms of the next play there?
Yeah, that's coach's decision. You know, I unless I have a strong, you know, opinion on it, I'm you know, waiting on coach's decision. In that instance.
But you're thinking the kicking team's coming out there. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were coming out. I ran off the field. We ran off the field, and then obviously came back on.
On the fourth and goal, obviously that sequence, it felt like you guys were knocking on the door for five or six plays. What's
yeah.
your feeling when you're down there for as long as you were, and then to come off with zero?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it is frustrating. You know, when you're that close, and you get four attempts right there. I think we were below the five for four attempts. And so. You know, to not get in those moments, it definitely is frustrating. But, you know, I believe that was the 17-play drive or so, I believe, or one of those. And so, you know, to be able to march the ball and move the ball for 17 plays, that's NFL ball. We just got to keep going and keep finishing. That's the most important thing.
Trying to find the offensive identity and that you guys are closer. Can your offensive identity be you throwing the ball 53 times? Or
did I throw it? I threw it 52 times. Jeez.
Do you guys need to find a balance?
No, I mean, I'm. You know, I do whatever a team needs. You know what I mean? And so, if it's 50 times, it's 50 times. I can't have the two turnovers with those 50 attempts. You know, and then if it ends up being 10 times, and it's, you know, and you know, I complete 9 of those 10, and we have 300 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. You know, I'm fully aware, fully ready to do whatever, you know, that may seem and whatever the team needs. And so if it comes down to being 50 attempts and us slinging the ball around, if it comes down to being, you know, 10 attempts, it's whatever team needs to get the win. And that's, you know, you go in the locker room, you celebrate and have fun because it's hard to win in the NFL, as we always say and as I've said. So, you know, we'll keep slinging it. We'll keep working on run game. You know, we'll keep getting better, definitely as an offense. We're going to get this thing going here soon.
Yeah, last one, with the offense as a whole of the scheme, do you feel like you guys need to restructure some things, or do you feel like this is the right track that you guys are on right now as far as the play calling and things like that?
Yeah, I think that is
I think more communication within you know, the offense, figuring out, you know, our pass protection this game was definitely, you know, a lot better. And we changed some things up, you know, figuring out what fits us as a team. I think so the constant communication that I've talked about before, I think goes a long way. And I think we need to keep doing that. Like I said, it's a long season. And so being able to, you know, adapt, change, and adapt to the players and people that we have in these rooms, because we got special guys, whether it's offensive line, running backs, and you know, wide receivers. And so, you know, being able to adapt and all of that, I think it starts from communication, and being that's something that's constant throughout a long season, throughout a game where, you know, rhythm, you know, starting fast, you know, throughout a game that, you know, you want to get things going, you want to be consistent, you want to be explosive, all these different things. It starts with communication, and then, you know, from there you can be consistent, because then it works well with, you know, our guys and our beliefs. Awesome. Thank you.
The Bears.
All right, there you go. Caleb Williams addressing the reporters Sunday following the Bears' loss to the Colts. He threw a whopping 56 times. He was sacked 4, so he will go down the books with 52 attempts. But I'll tell you what, this guy is going to get better and better and better, and they got to work on the line. They got to work on the play calling. They got to work on communications. They got to clean a lot of things up. Having said all that, they still have a chance before the bye to come up with a 3-0 record against teams like the Rams, even though they won today. Bottom line is the Bears are favored by 2.5 at Soldier Field, Carolina. That is a W, period, even though Carolina beat Vegas today, and Vegas is a mess. And then Jacksonville, that game is in London. And again, that's going to be a tough game for the Bears, but the Bears certainly can win that game. If the Bears win 3 straight, then everyone's happy, including your mild-mannered Bulls announcer, as the Bears would go into the bye week in Week 7. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. So I've got some questions for you when you call. 670 the score. So when you're watching a game, are you really like just frustrated? Do you turn the radio or the TV off and just say enough is enough is enough? Or do you say, you know what, I understand, I was expecting this, no problem, I can deal with the fact that I'm with a rookie quarterback, he's going to have his ups and his downs. So listen, that's what I'm talking about. I want to hear from Bears fans, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. This show is for the fans. We have a lot of texts coming in. One of our texters, Pat, and you know, Pat listens all the time to 670 The Score, and he is feeling the pain. Pat is feeling the frustration of Bears fans, and Pat is just saying, what are the Bears thinking? A sweep on 4th and 1? What is the offensive coordinator? What is the head coach thinking? And you know what, Pat? You're absolutely right, and I appreciate the call. Whether you're going to work, whether you're coming from work, whatever the case may be, we thank you for having the dial set to 670 The Score. Mully and Haw at 5 o'clock with Dustin, and we got tons of Bear stuff all morning long. So the loss with the Bears, they go to 1-2. Packers 2-1, beating a winless Titans ball club. The Lions bounce back from a loss. They took care of business against Arizona, and the Vikings go to 3-0. You know, and Sam Darnold, you know, sometimes it just takes a guy to find the right place. I'm not ready to put Sam Darnold in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, this guy has bounced around. He is with Carolina. He's with San Francisco. You know, the Jets. He's just trying to find his niche. And maybe it's with Minnesota. Who knows? But the Vikings are 3-0. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. The Cubs beat the Nationals 5-0. As you know, the Cubs have been eliminated. You got the White Sox. They lost to the Padres. And the White Sox now, with 120 losses, they have tied the Major League record in the modern era for losses. And they still have a series coming up at home with the Angels starting Tuesday. And then they go on the road at Detroit against an improving Tigers ball club that, since the All-Star break, they have been on fire. 312-644-6767. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, Andrew, stay with us. I appreciate your patience, along with other callers that are just bombing up our phone lines. We want to hear from you. 312-644-6767 on 670 The Score.